Good morning. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I put something up there. Everybody see that? Song I learned in my youth, and it had meaning to me because my grandfather did have a floor clock, and I remember seeing it when I was 5 years old, and when I was seven, he died, so the clock disappeared. I don't know what happened to it. Wasn't there anymore, but I always remembered my grandfather's clock, and I learned this song. It has stuck with me, and every time I think about the passage of time, I think about my grandfather's clock. How many of you out there know this song? There are just a few, huh? I was going to have you sing it with me, but maybe not. But it's quite a story. However, I'm going to talk about time. Time. Time marches on. When I was in high school, we had a running argument between us, some of us guys. Does time march on? There was a program on radio about time marches on. And we argued this. Does time march on, or does history march on and time stand still? And so I don't know how we resolved that, but it was just an exercise in mental strength, I guess. Time does move, though, doesn't it? It's going. I'm past 85 years. That's a lot of time. And some of you are also counting your time. But let's look at just a few weeks of time, and we'll be meeting here in a rally, and we'll have a subject on the rally. There's a nice poster out on the board there about the rally. I don't know if it tells what the theme is, but the theme is the walk of a believer. So I'm going to combine time with the believer, believe it or not. Time. Is it time? What time is it? When will it be time to whatever? Do we have time for it? There was a time when. Anybody can finish that sentence pretty well, I think. And our answers will be quite different from each other. For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. Why? Because he planned it that way. We are a product of his creation. And God is in charge. It's his world. He determines the time. We just guess and try to do our best on time. Way back many, many, many years ago, Solomon wrote about time. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die. We were never much old, maybe 10 years old, or maybe younger than that. We realized that our life is not going to go on forever, that we will die. We come to that understanding. Psychologists think we're the only creature on the face of the earth that has that understanding. Well, it may be true, or maybe not. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. I have some things in my garden now in my little greenhouse that need to be plucked up because it's taking up my energy, wasting my energy on them. And a time to heal, a time to kill, a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. I see that, a time to laugh and a time to dance. That's kind of neat, you know? How many of us dance when we're interested in showing our joy to the Lord? It's not a common thing, but it has been done. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. You know, we have trouble with that one, don't we? We have trouble knowing when we should speak and when we should keep silent, and sometimes we get in trouble over that. A time to love and a time to hate. I'm really surprised that Solomon wrote that. Is there ever a time to hate? And yes, there is, because we're told to hate our sins. If we hate our sins, that's a good practice. A time of war, a time of peace. Then I skipped a few verses, and I found this. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, that means us, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Time. I know that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. A time. A time for us to do good. And every man should eat and drink and enjoy the fruit of his labor. It is the gift of God. I could just start there and go in many different directions, couldn't I? But I'm going to go this direction. Time rewards the believer. A quote from John. In the last day, that was the last day of the feast. I'm going to read more about this. I didn't put it all up here. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the translators put this comment in. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And I'm going to open my Bible to John chapter 7 and touch a few more points on this. It's a very interesting story. Chapter 7 is a good read, all of it. But it goes like this. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Well, that's kind of unlike Jesus. He was afraid and was staying away from them. And now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. That's the feast referred to on the screen. And it says, his brethren therefore said to him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. I think that's kind of a rare instance where his disciples were giving him instructions. Jesus took instructions from them, and he went. So he said, he kind of protested. In verse 6 it says, and Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet. Come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. So he was kind of holding back about going among the Jews, because of what had happened before. They'd seen his miracles, and he had quite a following. And now it was time to go to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. Did he go? Yes, he did. And it says in verse 15, I'll say 14, verse 14, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. So he not only went among the Jews, but he went to the temple and he taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how know this man letters, having never learned? Well, they didn't know. He learned. When he was 12, he was found in the temple. And he was just marveling. They were marveling at what he knew then. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak it of myself. So that's what was going on. And the last day, the great feast day, came, and that's what I have here on the screen. I want you to know a little bit more of that than just that, though. Because it says in verse 31, and many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The miracles had come through for him. And he then said the thing I've written up there. And in verse 40 it says, many of the people therefore, when they heard this saying that's on the screen, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David? And so there was a little bickering going on between them. They weren't quite sure of what they heard, but there were believers. And the reason I put time rewards a believer is that after Jesus was glorified, then is when the Holy Ghost came upon his followers. Then is when they began to preach. And when thousands of people were converted, that's all recorded in the book of Acts chapter 2. So if we're patient, if we let God do his way and his will, if we let Jesus work in our lives, then we find good things that come along. The rewards for our patience will come along. Well, I want to cover this in a few other ways. So I've listed some things that the believer will do, the true believer. So the believer will invest time wisely. And I found this in James. This is a faithful saying, and these things will I that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. For they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. It's almost like two different subjects here, but I underline some things because I think we need to consider this in our lives every day. Are we affirming constantly that which we have believed? Or are we just kind of hanging back? You know, are we just, if people see something different in us, that's good, because we are by that affirming constantly. If we have a chance for a conversation about God with somebody, that's even better. We're affirming what we believe and that which we believed in God. And are we careful to maintain good works, or are we just kind of going with the flow? Do we consider from moment to moment and hour to hour the things we're doing and the things we plan to do and the things that we look for in the future, and making sure they're good works? They're things that will bring love into the picture, that will be assistance to others, that will put before everyone who sees us the face of godliness and kindness. And do people see that we are a follower of Jesus Christ? Or do we have to get involved in foolish questions, contentions, and these things, James says, are unprofitable and vain? It's kind of fun, you know. You get talking to somebody about some of the affairs of the day, or just about anything you could have an argument over. It's really kind of fun to get take a side in something and just keep pushing and seeing where you can get with it. And it makes you feel like you're intelligent and like you really have a handle on something. But it's just vanity. It's just vanity. We don't have to prove things to people. We have to show them what's right. By our example, by the way we live, by the things we are interested in, and we can lead others into those good things by our efforts. Foolish questions, contentions, striving about the law. The law here, James is referring to the old law that Jesus came and fulfilled. And there are people still contending about that law, but it's not getting them very far because they missed what happened. A believer will spend time in praise. Now we have meetings on Wednesday nights that are designed to praise God, and we sing a lot of songs, you know, and we pray. You know, we praise God through our testimonies, and we have a lot of opportunities right here in church to praise God. But are we doing that elsewhere? Like, do we praise God at home? Do we praise God among our neighbors? Do we praise God when we have those conversations that might be contentions if we did it the wrong way? But spending time in praise. And I found one in the Book of Alma. It's Ammon's talk after they had defeated an enemy. Yeah, it was that time when the stripling soldiers were there, and everybody was amazed at how it went with them. And so he was praising God. And he said, "Yea, and my joy is carried away, even into boasting in my God, for he has all power, all wisdom, all understanding. He comprehendeth all things, and he is a merciful being, even unto salvation, to those who will repent and believe on his name. Now if this is boasting, even so I will boast, for this is my life and my light, my joy and my salvation, and my redemption from everlasting woe. Yea, blessed is the name of my God, who has been mindful of this people." Now God has been mindful of this people, right here, seated before me. And we hear the testimonies of how he's been mindful for us in our everyday lives and in our comings and goings. And so we have reason to praise, just like Ammon was doing in what was written here. And so do we get that wordy about it? Well, maybe, and maybe more, because we should. His joy is carried away. I enjoy that statement. It's a feeling that I would like to have very often, that my joy carried away. It goes with me wherever I go. It's a joy that I express to others, a joy that puts down all of the pain or suffering that one might have, that joy. And the boasting in my God, he is my power, all wisdom and all understanding. We have to say that God comprehends all things, even more than we can comprehend. In the second book of Messiah, second chapter of Messiah, there is a series of things which are quoted very often. We call it the way to salvation. And it goes like this. This is on page 220, chapter 2, and starting at verse 12. "There is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved, except the conditions which I have told you." So there are conditions by which a man can be saved. And here they are. Believe in God. Believe that he is, and that he created all things both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power both in heaven and earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. Now, Ammon knew that. He included it in his statement here. "And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now if you believe all these things, see that you do them." I just love that reading. I read it often, just kind of remind myself of where my thoughts should be, where my heart should be, and where my conversation should be. A believer exemplifies righteousness. And I found this in 1 Peter chapter 1. And verses 13 through 16. "Wherefore, gird up thy loins of your mind." That's kind of a strange way of saying it, the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. "And be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." How many have had a specific time in their lives, a revelation of Jesus Christ? When it came through to you and you really solidly knew that was your Lord and Savior and the center of your life. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called us, called is holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. It's kind of a hard term to define, the word holy, but the true believer is that, however it's defined. As seeing ye have purified your souls, and I think he's defining it, isn't he? This is holy. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. And the same, of course, is true that we should love God and love Jesus Christ. Love goes in all directions. It doesn't originate with us, it originates with God. And we kind of have to learn it and we have to pray for it. But when we have it, there's something good that goes on within us. And we have that revelation of Jesus Christ through our love. Our love of him, our love of each other. We have to ignore our own faults and our own wishes and our own pain and concentrate on loving. It sometimes is kind of hard. Sometimes there are things that are not easy to love. But if we make the effort, it all kind of smooths out, and it's a way of experiencing Jesus Christ in our lives, to have that happen. A believer can explain what he or she believes. Can you explain what you believe? Practice explaining it to yourself. Just, you know, when you're by yourself, you're doing the dishes or something, and say, now what do I believe? And start explaining it to yourself. And then try it out on someone else and see if it makes sense to them. Because there'll be a day when you will have to explain it to a stranger. There'll be a day when you'll have to explain it to God. There will be a time when you, by explaining what you believe, bring someone else into understanding. And that's fruit. That's what's meant by bearing fruit unto God and unto Jesus Christ. Behold, I have given you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given unto you. These are the words of Jesus Christ found in 3 Nephi chapter 12, near the end of the chapter. That I came into the world to do the will of my Father. He kept saying that. He says it in other scriptures too. He came to do the will of his Father. He always acknowledges that he brought his Father's will, his Father's words, into this world. And we can then take it on from there. We can bring the words of Christ to each other, just like I'm trying to do here. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross. And after that I had been lifted up on the cross, I might draw all men unto me. Now there was only one person that could do that. Only the Son of God could do that. He was sent to be that sacrifice, lifted up on the cross. I can't go and be lifted up on the cross and get anywhere with it. There have been men who have tried that, and they just made a spectacle of themselves. That's vanity too. But he is lifted up on the cross. And if I recognize that, and I love him for it, and I do the things that he has commanded me to do, then I'm honoring him, and I'm honoring that sacrifice he made. I might draw a minute to me, he said. Well, can we help him? We're supposed to. That's the fruit that we are to bear. Help him. Draw men onto him. He didn't get them all, did he? Because they wouldn't go. They wouldn't do it. Even so should men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. And it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And that means filled with the Holy Ghost. And if he endure to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. That sounds pretty good. I was tempted to stop there, you know, because this sounds so nice. And we all expect to be in that situation, don't we? We all expect to have Jesus there and judging and recognizing you and I because we're his, because we endured to the end. But that's not the whole thing. And he that endureth not to the end, the same is he that is also hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return, because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which he hath given unto the children of men. And I don't like explaining that, but that's part of the understanding that I should have, part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people need to hear that. People need to know that there is a bad side to this thing if we're not his follower, if we do not have that love that he gave into the world, if we do not strive to do the things that he taught, and we don't even repent to take away the sins we have, then we're not going to be in good shape at the end. And there is a fire, which, of course, that's all explained in other places, just what that is. But the time has come. You see, there's another nice statement for time. Time has come. We say, what time is it? When is it happening? Where? What time? But the time has come. Messiah, in Messiah first chapter, I've got verses 124 to 126. And now I have spoken. This is King Benjamin's lecture here. He was saying this. And now I have spoken the words which the Lord God commanded me. And thus saith the Lord, they shall stand as a bright testimony against this people at the judgment day, whereof they shall be judged, every man according to his works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And we are all doing works. We can't help it. If we move and breathe, we're doing works. There is a reason for the things we do. There is an end to the things we do. There is fruit born from what we do, but it can be bad fruit and it can be good fruit. And we want it to be good. So the way to get good fruit is to know what Jesus wants of us, because he is our source of understanding. God sent him to this world to make that sacrifice and to give commandments which we are to follow. That is the way it works. And so if we want to meet the judge and meet that bright testimony against the people and come out well, we have to know the commandments of Jesus Christ and make them part of our lives. But I say the time has come, because as soon as the words are given to you and you understand them, those words are for you to live up to. The rest is up to you. I have given words to you this morning. Have you taken those words? Do you understand those words? Are they something that should be part of your life? I say yes. And on judgment day, you will be held up to those words. And that's what the king was saying. King Benjamin was saying this to his people. I have spoken the words which the Lord God commanded me, and thus saith the Lord, they shall stand as a bright testimony against this people. And so there's a bright testimony in the words I've brought up today, and you've known them before, some of you, and there are other words, many other words that we could hear and understand. That list of things I gave you for salvation, do we know those things? Do we live by those things? Do we really know that God can comprehend everything and we can't? You know, sometimes we behave like we've got it all solid in our thoughts and we can do everything, but we can't. And we have to realize that this world was made by a creator. God was the creator. We didn't create anything. And so we owe it to him. He's the source. He's the one who judges time. He's the one who invented the motion of the planets around the sun, which is how we get our time and our seasons and so forth. And we didn't do this. We don't even understand it fully. But we are part of that movement. We are part of what he has created. And so we should behave as if we are part of his creation, not as somebody who is important and he should do things for us. No, we don't rule God. He rules us. So let's review some of the things that I've said. True believers must understand the purpose of their time spent living in this planet. Do you remember what it was? Well, we're here to bear fruit. We're here to believe in this Jesus Christ who was sent. We're here to know that we have a time of probation in which we are expected to bring fruit to God. And the first fruit we should bring to God is ourselves in baptism, joining him with an oath to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. True believers must invest time wisely. That's why I'm talking about time, isn't it? Because time is going and going and going, and we waste a lot of it. And some of it we waste on our stuff, you know, when we could be doing something for him. Investing it wisely. True believers must spend time in praise of God. Why? You know? Well, he's out there, you know. He's so far away from us. How can it mean anything to him if we have a few fine words to say? If we express some joy in him, what's that got to do with him? And the truth is that he does hear our prayers. He does know when we praise him. And he is listening. And we have evidence for that. So it's good to spend time in praise of God. Just recognizing that he is the creator is part of praise, but that's a starting point. We have to go further than that. Do we have to jump over the pew? And do we have to make a big scene? No. We have to do things like others have that are recorded in Scripture. And we have to do it in love. Honest love for our Lord who created all of these things. The true believer must be a living example of righteousness. So important in our families that parents be an example of righteousness, that grandparents be an example of righteousness. We could be examples of selfishness. We could be examples of anger. We could be examples of many other bad things, but terrible things happen in families. Terrible things. Because people are not trying to be an example of righteousness. And it's hard on the children. As a matter of fact, bad things coming from parents then become part of the lives of children. And when they're parents, the same bad things appear. We know this goes on and on. And one scripture says that three or four generations will absorb the bad things that people do if they don't love God. A living example of righteousness. As grandparents, we have some influence too on the children, on our grandchildren. In fact, some grandchildren just love their grandparents so much. And if they see them doing unrighteous things, they would copy that. So important to be that good, righteous example. And know how to explain their belief in Christ. True believers must know how to explain their belief in Christ. And in the screen that I had up there, I had a couple of other examples to remember. And one is found in the fourth chapter of 3 Nephi. I think this is a very important one, so I'm going to look it up here and read it. Fourth chapter, as soon as I find it. It was when the people on this continent had gone through all of those storms and things. Everything was messed up and many people died, and they heard a voice. after it was all over with, they heard a voice. And the voice came from heaven. And on page 628, starting with verse 44, we find what that voice said. "Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth and all things that in them are. I was with the Father from the beginning. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. And in me hath the Father glorified his name. I came unto my own, and my own received me not. And the scriptures concerning my coming are fulfilled. And as many as have received me, to them have I given to become the sons of God. And even so will I, to as many as shall believe on my name. For behold, by me redemption cometh, and in me is the law of Moses fulfilled. I am the light and the life of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And ye shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away. For I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings. And ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit." The people of this world who might be talking with us, who we might have a chance to reveal our beliefs to, they need to know that. They need to know those things that I just read. And how many times do we explain them to our friends and our neighbors? Probably not much. We're kind of squeamish about that, about telling them things like that. But it's so important that that be an important cornerstone in our belief. And we do have to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. All the time, we should show that to the world and in our example to others. So that's my little lecture on time today. Time is passing. Things are happening. The people around us need to know where we stand. I hope that we make a better job of it than we have. God bless you.